So, as we said, this week's slightly different from normal, but it is a great pleasure to be able to worship our God together in this place. And we're going to look at this Sharing Sunday. So I'm going to kick off. I'm going to share a few thoughts that I've had this week. And we're going to just allow space for others to share. And most importantly, we want God to turn up, to prompt us, maybe for us to listen more. And sometimes when we are forced into something a bit different out of our usual routine and rhythm, it's often a time I found where God maybe brings something new to us, and I'm hopeful for that. And you know what? In the silence, it's not an uncomfortable space. It's a place to be awaiting what maybe God is trying to speak into our hearts and into our lives. And it is always a pleasure to be in his presence. So yeah, I'm going to kick off. Back in September, as a family, we were able to go on holiday to Paris, which was amazing. So Sabrina's cousin, she works at Disney. And the way that they describe it in Disney, she's very good friends with Princess Tiana and another group of cast members that she obviously has to play the role of. Not only when we went there did she able to get us into the parks and everything, which is amazing, and get us to the front of the queues and the ride, we got to experience something that Ezra was really excited about. It's called the Frozen Experience, okay? And if you know the film, okay, even if you don't know the film, I'm sure you know at least one of the songs. It was amazing. So there's an ice palace. And the synopsis for the film, for those who are uneducated in the world of Disney, and I don't blame you if you are, so it is a mythical kingdom called Arendelle, which is essentially sort of set in Norway. And it's about two sisters who are princesses. So you've got Elsa, the older one, Anna, the younger one, and the older one, Elsa, from a young age, has got these magical powers. And basically, she can fire out ice and she can make things out of snow. And because she's young and she doesn't have the control and it's all this magical power, she nearly sort of hurts, well, she does hurt her younger sister, Anna, with these sort of ice blasts. And luckily for her younger sister, she's able to escape. She gets struck with the head, but she's able to be healed and come back from that. And I'm hopefully not giving too many spoilers away. There's lots of other things in the film, lots of singing, lots of snow, and other exciting things that always happens in Disney. But as we culminate towards the end of the film, I can't remember what the reason was, Anna, the younger sister, is again struck by these icy powers. And this time, rather than hitting her in the head, it's hit her in the heart. And the big sort of theme of this, sort of the outcome of this, is that when someone has a frozen heart, unfortunately, there's no coming back from it. And I think the sense is that only sort of an act of true love can save her from certain death. And if you think about normally in sort of Disney films of the past, this would be the cue for the sort of handsome prince to sort of enter. So whoever Prince Charming, but obviously nowadays it's all modern and it's all very sort of culturally appropriate. And now it's actually her older sister, Anna, who saves the day in a sort of thankless sacrifice, where she steps in front of another bolt of magic, and through that act of love, Anna's heart is sort of thawed out and everything is happy and great until Frozen number two. And I'll leave you to watch that. When we watch these sort of stories, and you think about these themes, it's not just Disney, but just in general, we often think about the heart. The heart is really important, isn't it? Even for people who have no sort of faith or background in that, it becomes something quite important. And these themes, especially in these sort of films, it's always all about follow your heart, isn't it? Follow your heart. If you know your heart's desire, then in life you're going to go and achieve the things you want to do. And only by looking in yourself, looking inside, is you're going to find your true call. And that seems to be sort of the not only in films, but just generally in life, isn't it? You get this sort of wisdom from the world where it's like, yeah, just follow your heart. You need, ultimately, if you follow your heart, you can't go wrong. And people sort of follow that in terms of relationships, in terms of jobs, careers, anything else. And I thought it'd be interesting this week to think about what the Bible says about the heart. And I think it's important when we think about what the biblical terms of the heart, we're talking about our inner being, we're talking about our control center and what makes you. And the Bible has a lot to say about the heart. And the first thing I want to share is from Jeremiah 17. And it actually says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? In the NIV actually says it's beyond a cure. And I think that's interesting, isn't it? That it's completely in opposite of what the world talks about, those self-help guides, if you're into Oprah and those sort of programs. It's always about inward. This is it. If we can heal our hearts, if we can, sort of nurture it, then everything's going to be good. But it's interesting that the Bible is very clear about actually the heart, our being at the time, is essentially broken. It's sick. And we know when we think back, trace back to sort of Genesis and how everything came apart, it makes sense why that even in our goodness, we're often broken. The Bible also talks about the fragility of the heart. So in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guide your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I think we really need to be careful about when we consider our hearts. We need to be watchmen and gatekeepers for what comes in and out of our heart. The Bible often talks about this also in our mind, about keeping our minds pure and also guarding our tongue. But we've also got to consider it when we think about ourselves and how we focus our lives. I think it's helpful to have that image of a water source. If you think about when we have a source that is pure, okay, it starts from that. And if anything that flows out of it needs to be healthy and pure as well. And I think that's helpful when we think about that. We need to have precautions in place, don't we, to protect our hearts. Anyone who's, we talk about heartache and heartbreak, we talk about just how we've been treated. We often are vulnerable. And if you're anything like me, my personality, I would say I'm quite an emotional person. I often wear my heart on a sleeve. That's another saying we have, don't we, over here. And often we are sort of defined a lot by our experiences. And if we've been hurt or we've seen things that have upset us over the years, we take that on often in new relationships or in friendships. And even within our relationship with God, we often have scars that we can protect ourselves because of vulnerability. And we've got to look beyond ourselves to overcome those issues. And for me, and the Bible is clear about that, we need to turn to someone else who's a different source, and ultimately the source of life, the spotless lamb, someone we've just talked, sung about in some fantastic songs that Pete led us through. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26, it says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. Now, I've sort of meditated on that verse a lot over the years. I've prayed over it in terms of my own situations, especially when I've been thinking about how more compassionate I need to be. If you've dealt with people who kind of maybe cause you a bit of problems, whether that's in work life or in friendships, I think more than ever we do need to be more compassionate with others. And I see it myself sometimes that my heart can become quite opposed to things. Essentially, a heart of stone at times, or, in the sense of that film, becomes a bit frozen. We become a bit icy to people, become a bit distant. And we've got to really keep ourselves in check around that to make sure that we don't fall into those patterns. I've also prayed that verse over my family. I think about long-standing disputes and arguments that have really become ingrained over the years. And I've cried out, many a times to God, say, Lord, just heal this situation, Lord. Just pull down those barriers. Just soften those hearts in conversations. And God's been so faithful in that. And it's so encouraging to know that even in circumstances where you can't see anyone giving anything away, God has that ability and that power to soften people's hearts, even when we think people are beyond repair. And most importantly, I pray that verse, and I pray it a lot over my friends and family who've either walked away from God or even never even considered God. And, like those frozen hearts that, were made of stone, it's only God that has that power to turn those into flesh. And I think it's a really nice picture, isn't it? When we think about a heart that's beating, it's flowing, isn't it? It's the source of life. We want that lifeblood in our hearts once again. And as believers, it's vital that we are in tune with our hearts with God. We want to make sure that we're not just going through the motions. We're not just turning up because we think it's a duty thing. We want to know that actually our hearts are living and are in tune with God, our Creator. We need to make sure, that our focus is in God Himself. Johnny last week was sharing about obviously the dangers of idolatry. and getting rid of those things that can become between ourselves and God. And in Psalm 86, it talks about God having an undivided heart. And I think more than ever, we need to make sure that, don't we? We need to keep on top of those things that maybe our passions, our loves, the things that our hearts desire. And not everything is bad, but we need to make sure that we've got that right pecking order, that God stays at number one. And those other things can flow from that, but they'll become a barrier for our relationship and our walk with him. In Proverbs 3, so much wisdom in Proverbs, isn't there? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your straight your paths. And it is, isn't it? It's about giving God all your heart, not just those little pieces that you're willing to share, not those things that you're holding back from him. And not trying to trust on our own understanding, because I can speak for myself. There's so many times I think, oh, this is such a good idea, and it all turns out completely wrong. And sometimes even the best will and the best sort of intentions can often go awry. And giving that all to God, giving that lead into him, we know that he will take us on those right paths, and they will be the straightest. They might not always be the easiest, but if we know that the destination is him, then I don't think we're going anywhere wrong. I want to then just move on to 2 Corinthians. It says, this is another verse that I think really sums up some of the thoughts I wanted to sort of share with us today. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When we think about Jesus' death and resurrection, we are born again as a whole being. We get a new heart and we get a new spirit. I don't know about this week, unless you've been hiding under a rock. We've heard a lot on the news about the climate summit up in Glasgow, the COP26 conference of the parties. And their aim for the climate summit this week is to unite the world to tackle climate change. And it seems like there's not been much uniting in terms of some of the decisions that have been made. You've seen a lot of protesting. Talk about people who are frustrated at maybe some of the key decisions that haven't been made yet. And I don't know if you've seen in the Christian news, if you read that, I read a bit on Premier. But there was a church in Glasgow, not far away from where some of the conferences took place, a Tron church. And they had this big banner out on the front. And it's been quite controversial because it says, the world's most urgent need is churches preaching Christ crucified, not climate change. And obviously, I think the Reverend Dr. William Phillip, who obviously commissioned this banner, has got into a bit of hot water, not only from non-religious sort of people, but also Christians as well. They're saying that the tone and everything isn't helpful at this time. And actually, within about 48 hours of this banner going out in front of the church, it got sort of defaced, graffitied, and then essentially torn down. But I think, for me, I think it's an interesting, it raises an interesting point. I think, first and foremost, I want to say, as Christians, we do have a responsibility to be, you know, a good steward of God's creation. I believe, you know, we need to look after our planet. I think we've got to pray for people in power more than ever to make right choices for us and also for future generations. But there is an aspect of that banner that I completely agree with from a Christian point of view. Boris has recently, this week, been talking about, you know, the clock being 1 minute closer to midnight for the doomsday clock. And as Christians, we know that the world is facing a bigger problem than just climate change. And it is, again, a heart issue. It goes back to that sin. And we all have it. And when I look at those people who are marching, and there is Christians as well who are marching and making their voices known about climate change, I hope that we also have that same burden to preach the gospel, because it is so important at this time. I don't want to kind of talk about end time theology, but I know that every day we are here on earth, we are one day closer to Jesus coming back. And we need to have that zeal, don't we? We need to have that burden not to see other people lost. The truth is, the gospel is offensive, isn't it? It's powerful. And when we think about declaring the gospel in different situations with people, friends and families, there is only two ways you can approach it. You can either accept it, or you can reject it. You cannot ignore it. And we want all people to hear, especially for those who we know and come into contact with and we love. I'm going to finish just on a couple more verses that I think are going to be helpful for us. It's from John 14. So this is when Jesus, is talking and he's reassuring his disciples. It says, "Do not let your hearts," again, hearts are the key, the message. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that was not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And I think reading this passage this week, I've just struck again about the personable nature of God's rescue plan. When Jesus, in this verse, is reassuring the disciples and he's reassuring us, he doesn't give that impression about heaven that he's like, "Oh, do you know what? Oh, I'll let you guys in. It's a bit of an inconvenience. Or, look, I can't make any promises. There might be a few spaces at the back, but just stay on the outskirts, because if someone better comes in, you're going to have to move and you'll have to be out again." You know, he wants us to be encouraged that he is making that personal service to us. He's speaking directly to us. And that's how much he wants to spend eternity with each and every one of us. I don't know if you've ever, I hope you have, been in receipt of sort of good hospitality. But when we think about someone going away and preparing a place, whether it's preparing a meal, when you go to someone's house and you're welcomed in warmly, when you're given a place at the table and you're given some lovely food, that sense of just acceptance and welcoming is fantastic. Or if you've stayed at people's houses where, you've got the fresh bed linen and the towels are pressed, and you've got that sense that you are so welcome here. I think we need to remember that, and we want to give that message to others, that not only does God want us all to join him in paradise, but he wants it to be a personal experience. He wants us to reach out in a way that we can receive it and accept it. And that verse goes on, if we continue in John 14, to a really famous verse where Jesus points the way to the Father. And he says, Thomas says to him, "Lord, we don't know where we're going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus answers, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you've seen him." So we need to make sure that we are able to point to the way himself. And that is Jesus. So I'm going to pause there. We've got a few minutes now. And like I said, I'm just going to leave the space open. We've got, I think, Lewis' microphone here if you want to do that. If you want to feel more comfortable just praying from your seats. But if you want to share something, please be an encouragement. And then after a bit of time, we'll wrap up in prayer, and that will be our time together today. So this is the space. This is your chance to share.